54. Hayden. Hayden was looking back at the city when Caleb and Max broke through the clouds. He checked the time, and then his HUD, matching the positions of the various units and trying to estimate how the Inception was going to play. The incoming alien ships were a complication he would never have expected, making an already stressful situation all the more intense. According to Isaac, the Axon was still on the move, driving up the highway toward the ruined city right on schedule. It was due to pass Bennett's position within the next 2 minutes, while the alien spacecraft were still 15 minutes out. That would leave them 12 minutes to stop Craik, take back the interlink, and get somewhere safely undercover before the ships arrived. There was no question they were headed for this position. No doubt they had timed their arrival with Craik's. But why? It didn't make a lot of sense. If there was a portal in the city, Vite didn't need ships to ensure the interlink made it off-world. All Craik had to do was step through it and shut it down, and both the Axon and the interlink would be completely out of their reach. Maybe he was wrong. Maybe the ships weren't here specifically for Craik. Maybe they were just the start of something else. Something bigger. The Jax Kluth had been the first wave, made to remove the competition in the form of the Trife, ordered to take out the largest human threats and the biggest and more powerful settlements, not only Eden Rise and Sanisco, but wherever they were around the world. With that done, they could begin to terraform the planet, to start weaving webs of hardened ichor and prepare the world for the coming of the hunger. The Relia didn't have unfettered access to Axon portals. Even Vite couldn't send entire armies through the doors. He had to have those armies in a place with a portal to send to a place with a portal. The ships were the second option, the other method of transportation to a planet. First, the hunger subdues the planet. Then they enslave it. The ships were carrying the next wave. Now that pockets of survivors were more isolated from one another than ever, a new, more intelligent Relia race could begin to harvest those pockets, rounding up survivors as resources to feed into their universe-spanning machine. The thought made Hayden's blood run cold. They would need a lot more than a couple dozen ships. But what if there were a lot more out there, either further behind the vanguard or spreading around the planet, preparing to strike? After 2 centuries of clinging to survival and fighting for hope, would Earth crumble within a matter of days? Not if he could help it. "Sheriff, I've got a visual on the car," Bennett said, his sharp voice breaking Hayden out of his reverie. His head whipped back to the south. He couldn't see the car yet, but it had appeared on his ATCS, marked through his helmet as a red dot in the distance. He moved over the pile of discarded wrecks, getting even closer to the road. Timing was everything. They had 14 minutes from now to finish the mission and get the hell out. And then what? Could they get the data they needed and find a means to make the interlink work for them? Could they use it to destroy the Jax Kluth the way they had planned? Would it even matter? The Jax Kluth were only one Relia race. They would have to do more than that. But it was a start, and he wasn't going to give up. He wasn't going to let his family die for nothing. "Alpha Squad, get ready," he said into the comm. "The package is in the zone." He expected a series of confirmations to follow from Alpha, but no one replied. "Alpha, do you copy? Confirm ready." Nothing. Hayden glanced at the situation map. Drake, Rico, and Bennett were still in position. They were available on the network. Why weren't they responding? Then Drake moved suddenly, his mark on the map going forward, too close to the edge of the raised highway where he had perched. Hayden swung his head back to get visual on the position, just in time to watch the Centurion leap from the platform, fall 10 meters, and crash into the rubble below. His body rolled down the side of the debris, his status marker turning red in Hayden's helmet. What the hell? "Rico," Hayden said, "do you copy? Come in." He spun around, looking for signs of the enemy. Drake was hallucinating. It was the only thing that made any sense. But Craik was still too far out to use neural disruption as a weapon, and there was nothing else here. Or was there? If Rico and Bennett were affected, there would have to be at least 2 or 3 Axon in the area. "Damn it," he cursed, looking back down the road. Craik was still bearing down, getting closer.
"Hayden,
Natalia's voice stalled his attention, forcing him to turn again. He saw her there in the middle of the road in full combat armor minus the bucket, rifle in hand and ready to join the fight. "Nat," he said. "I thought you could use some backup."
"Nat, you can't be here."
Natalia smiled.
"I can't let you do this alone.
They killed Halya Hayden. They killed Ginny."
Tears sprang into Hayden's eyes.
"I know."
He stared at her, soaking in her face.
"I'll make them pay for that."
"We'll make them pay,"
Natalia corrected, raising her rifle and swinging the muzzle toward him. Hayden's eyes narrowed. He glared at Natalia, a tide of anger rising within him. This was a trick, a damn dirty trick. He had dealt with the Axon hallucinations before. He wasn't immune to them. Not really, but he was sick and tired of their bullshit.
"No. Whoever you are, I'm coming for you, you son of a bitch. I just got some other business first."
Then he pivoted, turning south and drawing his revolvers. The anger increased his blood pressure. It released adrenaline. It made his head pound, interrupting the signals the Axon were flinging to make him see things that weren't there. He couldn't get rid of them, but he could identify them for what they were. The mod box was directly ahead of him now and closing fast. Too fast. Hayden opened fire. A dozen rounds loosed from the pair of guns inside of 3 seconds, each of them punching into the cage wrapped around the car, four of them piercing the windshield beyond the metal and powering through. One of them hit the Axon driver, too surprised to activate its shields in time. The round hit the edge of its face, leaving a deep gash through its skin and drawing blood from its face. Craik didn't flinch, the car roaring as it accelerated a little more. Hayden dropped his guns and jumped, tucking his shoulder as the mod box barreled into him. His augment slammed into the cage over the windshield, crumpling the metal bars inward until physics pushed him up and over the roof. He spun in the air, the vehicle continuing beneath him as he reached out in a desperate grab. He grabbed onto one of the spikes protruding from the trunk and held on as tightly as his augment would allow. He was jerked to a sudden, painful stop, the momentum wrenching at the already damaged control ring and threatening to rip the limb away. The physical pain was worse than anything he had ever felt before, and it intensified as his body swung down and hit the back of the car, the spikes there scraping against his combat armor, one of them punching through and impaling his leg. He cried out, the sound lost in the whine of the motor and the rumbling of the ground beneath the wheels. Craik didn't look back and didn't slow, leaving Hayden caught on the car while it stayed its course toward the city. He gritted his teeth while he looked at his HUD. There was no sign of Rico or Bennett. Both had vanished from the network. Were they dead? Hayden almost wished he was. Almost. Every part of his body hurt, his arm most of all. But Craik and the Interlink were within his reach, and he would be damned if he was going to let either get away.